This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at wheat for Thursday, March 30th. Well, an interesting day in the wheat space yesterday. We continued to push higher initially. We were strong in the night session. The day session kept pushing higher, up 20 cents on both Chicago and Kansas City. But as we were leaving the night session, the Chicago market started to take over the Kansas City. So that's the first time we've seen that spread correct in weeks, really. And it was in a noticeable amount. So as the day session kicked in, we saw both of them kind of tracking together a little bit. And then Kansas City was the first to kind of roll over. So it was interesting price action where you don't see Kansas City being the leader. Both KC and Chicago stalled out at some notable resistance levels. In Chicago, we were at the highs from a few weeks ago, or a couple weeks ago in mid-March. We pushed above that, but then we got up into the old swing lows from early December, mid-January, and then the market stalled out and reversed down. In Kansas City, those highs were the swing highs from mid-February. So, and then the market pulls back, and of course, you close lower in Kansas City, just barely higher in Chicago. Minneapolis was lower as well. So if you're a candlestick chart type of person, you're looking at these formations because we close right where we opened in Kansas City and Minneapolis. That gives you a doji, a hammer if you want to go further along that. I mean, it's a pretty significant formation of a high. And if you're just looking at a regular bar chart, it's a spike high. You put in a new high for the move, it's a pretty significant run up, and then the market completely gives it all back by the end of the day. So I think the wheat market has given us a sell signal. I don't think it's a longer term sell signal, but certainly given the resistance levels that we're at, given that we got a couple major crop reports tomorrow, I think the market's going to come into a correction mode here. And you know, the testing the breakouts from where we were just about a week and a half ago gives you about a 30 cent pullback, and I think that's probably what we're going to get. If you go deeper than that, then that gives you another 20 cents or so to the downside before you run into the next significant resistance. And that's at least on the Minneapolis and Kansas City charts. Chicago looks a little different. The swing high from mid-March actually was what we broke through yesterday, and then we closed below that. So I think there you're looking at about a 20 to 30 cent drop there, but that takes you to that secondary support level of a similar formation in Kansas City, Minneapolis. So Chicago never really was that strong to start with, which is why when I saw it taking over leadership to the upside yesterday, that was a red flag, because KC had been the leader earlier in the night session and then now was trailing Chicago. So your leader was running out of gas, basically. And I think that given the chart formation and the price action yesterday, we are going to be headed into, I'd say, at least a couple days of a correction. I don't know what the crop reports are going to give us, but I think if we get a bearish report, that would be a buying opportunity, pretty much for wheat and corn, for that matter. The crop reports, of course, are the plantings report and the stocks report. For plantings, the trade is expecting all wheat acres at 48.9. That would be up 3.2 million acres over last year, and almost all of that is in winter wheat. Winter wheat's expected up 3.1 million at 36.3, which the market already knows. That was in the January winter wheat plantings report. Spring wheat acres at 10.9 million, that's up just 100,000 over last year. Durum acres at 1.7 million, pretty much unchanged with a year ago. Corn plantings at 90.9 million acres is the estimate. That's up 2.3 million over last year's final plantings estimate. And soybean plantings at 88.3 is up 800,000 over last year. In the stocks report, we're looking for wheat at 930 million bushels. That's down 72 million from this time last year. In corn, 7.47 billion bushels. That's down just 29 million from this time last year. And soybean, stocks at 1.73 billion bushels. That's down 20 million from a year ago. So not looking for any big changes in the stocks report. But, you know, from a year ago, at least that's what the trade estimate is. So we'll see what USDA gives us. Those reports will be released tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock Mountain Time. In some other news in the marketplace, yesterday we talked about how Cargill announced that they were stopping helping Russia ship grain starting July 1, the beginning of their new marketing year. Yesterday during the session, Viterra announced that they were no longer going to be exporting Russian grain, and it appeared that that was going to be right away. We didn't get, or they didn't respond to the rumor, but you know, it wasn't very descriptive of when that would happen. I think the takeaway is, you know, major grain companies are just getting out of Russia. It's too much trouble, too much risk, and Russia doesn't seem too concerned about it. The market certainly was not concerned about it. It didn't have a blip at all in the market. When Cargill announced it, it added some element of support. But when Viterra announced it, it was kind of a yawner. In fact, the market just kind of rolled over and kept going down. So not a big deal there. You know, and again, we don't know when that's going to start for Viterra. So it's Russia appears to be, you know, giving some uncertainty to the market. You know, last week they were talking about they felt prices were too low, that they were going to start restricting grain exports. That's curious because they, you know, they need the money and they have a lot of wheat to export, unless they don't have a lot of wheat to export. You know, it's been pretty widely accepted that even from USDA, it's at least in the low 90 million tons, which is by far a record for them. Some of the private guys out of Russia and the Russian government themselves are hovering around 105 to 107 million tons, which in itself is a pretty big difference in estimates. But nevertheless, they still had a huge crop. But they've been exporting a huge amount as well. Perhaps they're running tight. We had not seen any indication of that. They've been aggressively putting out FOB offers, you know, trying to match Ukraine, which undercut them here a couple weeks ago. You know, all they have to do is just, you know, raise their FOB offers and the world will come to them because they are the world's price setter. Ukraine, of course, is trying to move as much as they can, generate as much cash. They may capture some of the near-term business, but they're not going to drive world price like Russia does. But either way, Russia doesn't like being usurped, and you know, but if they're going to lower their own FOB offers, they shouldn't complain about how low world prices are. It just doesn't really make sense. A couple other things. Ukraine, their March grain exports are at 5.1 million tons, which is a pretty healthy number. It's up 3.7 million tons over where they were a year ago. But of course, a year ago, they were in the early stages of the war, so everything was in chaos last year. But they are definitely moving quite a bit of grain. We've also got some issues on the Ohio River. Some barges broke loose, and three of them apparently have jammed up against a dam. So they're shutting down Ohio River barge traffic, you know, until they get that cleared up. But a little bit of snafu going on in river traffic. In weather, we're looking at yet another major snow event coming through the southern part of the northern plains. South Dakota, almost the whole state is going to get dumped on, and that pushes over into at least the lower half of Minnesota, and then the northern third of Wisconsin, and then the northern part of Michigan. You know, they're talking at least a foot of snow. Like they need any more snow at this point. So this just further delays plantings in that region. We're already looking at, you know, a couple feet of snow on the level still hanging out below normal temperature. So it's not like that snow is going to melt off right away. It's just crazy how much snow there is and how cold it is. The planting season is going to be well delayed across the northern plains. So that, you would think, would start to shave off some corn acres out of a major part of the growing region. I don't think this is going to show up in the plantings report today. This is going to be as of March 1, and the USDA is certainly not going to assume that you're going to see major planting delays or that you're going to lose acres until you actually start to see them. So that's still yet to come. So if we get a bearish report in corn, I think it just presents a big buying opportunity, because I just don't see how North Dakota and even the northern reaches of Minnesota, getting into eastern Montana, these are short growing seasons, and you're going to get a very late start to it. I just don't see how you can plant a normal season corn variety, and you're probably either going to if you really try to squeeze it in, get a short season variety, which will yield less, or not plant corn at all. So that's something to keep in mind. A couple of the things, the EIA report showed gasoline use at 9.15 million barrels per day. That's up 8% over last week. Stocks are dropping slightly at 227 million barrels. That's down 3 million from last week, down 5% from last year. Crude oil stocks at 474 million bushels, that's down 7 million from last week. Ethanol production at 295 million gallons, that's up 2 million over last week. And it's expected that we're going to see an increase in gasoline usage starting pretty much about now and certainly through the summer. And that should increase ethanol demand as well. So we're looking at a stretch of time where demand for corn will be elevated because ethanol demand is going to be elevated. We're also looking at that same period of time where, at least the early part of that, where U.S. exports will pretty much be the only game in town. Ukraine will still be exporting corn, but it's slow and arduous. So the U.S. is the reliable supplier, and we certainly have enough of it. And we've seen that. You know, China has come in bidding with both hands in U.S. corn, and they've bought a lot of corn. So we're pretty much dominating the export market. So it, you know, you have kind of a combination of things going on. Our exports are expected to pick up. You've got, you know, of course, the driving season and demand for ethanol is expected to increase. You've got delayed planting season, potentially. So all these things are bullish aspects to the corn space. December corn has been kind of the leader the last few days, and I think it's starting to factor in this very late planting expectation across the northern plains. But I think that ultimately a bull market in corn will be led by the front months. So if we do get a bearish report, I think being in the May or the July would be the place to be, at least initially. So a lot going on in the grain space. The market, though, has given us a sell signal in wheat, a pretty good sell signal, in fact. We'll see if we get some confirmation today. Got the crop reports out tomorrow. Corn, I think, you know, probably due for a pullback, but it will be well supported, as I think wheat will too. I think Kansas City resumes its leadership to the upside. We just don't see any relief coming for the Southern Plains. And in fact, that dry region of the western half of the Southern Plains kind of starting to expand back out to the east again. So that's not a good sign as you're in full growth stages for Kansas. And, you know, that crop needs a drink now, especially the western third. As you get into central Kansas, it's kind of on the border. Eastern Kansas has more moisture available to it, but it's still a large chunk of the state that's going into this growing season in a moisture deficit. And the further west you go, the worse it gets. So, you know, I think KC, until you see at least a forecast for rain, and we don't even see that for the next 2 weeks, that takes us into mid-April already. So I think KC has some more work to do to the upside. There's plenty of room and plenty of time to get it done. We're still targeting early May for a seasonal high for wheat and corn. So that's a whole month ahead of us for this market to work its way higher. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843 or 513-815-1701. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.